All right, it's time to play everybody's third favorite game on podcasts in this little DSG network that we have here. It's called Left, Right, Left. We have a guest joining us today. He'll be joining us, Ben Zwyman of DK Nation. So if you don't know what this is, I assume you're familiar with the dating apps.
Me? Yes. I've heard of dating apps, yes. Okay, I've never been on one. Ben, have you been on a dating app?
I have been on – Billy knows I've been on dating apps.
Oh, this is perfect. So he's going to be really good at this game. I'm going to be just like the older guy that's been there.
So this, as opposed to last week, these are girls who – you're not going to see the photos of them, but just they're women that the superficial man would apprise. They're very attractive women, but their bios might not be as attractive. Okay. First one here. You get two lefts, one right. So both of you can pick. Contestant number one, if you don't give me attention – I will unmatch with you because mama didn't raise no C word. And I'm
time out. Sorry. Whoa. Did she use the C word? Did she raise the C word?
No, she used
the four letters.
Oh, yeah.
Cuts like
rhymes with funt. Yep.
Whoa. All right.
See you next Tuesday. Cut up, not toasted. She didn't raise no C word, and I'm not a pussy. So that's one. She was attractive, though.
Okay.
All right. So the next one, don't be afraid to swipe. I like all flavored men.
Okay.
Interesting. All right.
These girls are quick. Last week we were getting paragraphs.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. These girls are much better. I like true crime and interspecies friendships. Then it's followed with a unicorn, a peace sign, a black heart, and a link to her OnlyFans.
Oh, no. I know we don't know the images. Did you click the OnlyFans just to get a taste?
I have the link here. I will go afterwards and let you know.
Okay. I think I have this app subscribing as more OnlyFans. But okay, so we get one approval and two denies?
Yep.
All right, contestant one. Ben, what do you think?
The first one's definitely a swipe left.
Okay, is she the one with the C-U-N-T?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to be real that this is a married man who's been out of the game for well over a decade. I feel like I would have to swipe right on her because I have to see what the crazies are like. Like, I need to see that. But I'm not going to if I'm a single man. I got no interest in that. Way too much going on there. I don't think we're getting a cup of coffee or whatever you do for a first date.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then the next one was the she likes all flavored men.
Hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a tough one between these two.
So it's between her and the OnlyFans girl.
This is.
I have other questions about the OnlyFans girl. Like, is it legit or is it like a entrapment? Are we getting like is it a fake account kind of thing? I don't know. I usually like steer clear. Like, I haven't been on dating apps in a little bit. Like, it's been a bit, but again, like, I have experience, right? So, I would need more information. I would need to do more digging. If we're basing it just off of this, I think I might take the second one, right? And swipe left on the OnlyFans. I don't know. I don't know if that's the play.
I've thought about it. I'm going with the first girl. Because the second girl, she likes all flavored men. I don't know enough about you. I don't really get what's going on. First girl's got a lot of attitude. And I feel like at least it'd be interesting if she also swiped right. That's how it works, right? And then the last girl, if you have an OnlyFans, I'm probably like, it might be fun. But if this gets serious, I'll probably get jealous.
And just for everybody's edification here, I swipe right on all of them.
Yeah, Billy!
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about pop culture that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted. Get yourself addicted.
That was awesome.
To the pop culture pile driver, get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi, humbled to be here with you. As always, you can check out me on the social medias, no dating websites, at Jason D. Rossi. And with me and we are this little program here can be found at Pop Culture PD. And if you hit that follow button, it'll instantly make you horrified. And with me as always, my tag team partner here in the podcast sphere. He is the bad boy of Twitter, getting booted off of things, swiping right, swiping left, and most importantly, still got his OnlyFans up and kicking for the bottomless feed. If you check out his OnlyFans at BillyD2411, he's on Twitter at Billy Yee. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. Here to review my favorite horror movie of all time.
I don't believe you, but then again, you've got it. That's a short stack, Bill. That's a short stack of horror movies for you.
Fair enough.
No disrespect. No disrespect. And speaking about no disrespect, we don't want to disrespect our guest today. Coming from DK Nation over on the DraftKings, helping you do things, setting lineups, making millions. He is at Ben Zwyman, DKN. He is Benny Bandana wearing a thong on his head for those watching on YouTube. Ben, how the hell are you?
It's not the only thong I'm wearing, Rossi. I'll have you know. But yeah, also here, repping Scream.
Yeah.
I'm with Billy, though. It's probably my favorite horror movie and potentially one of my favorite movies of all time. So I'm very pumped. I just watched it again. I've watched it maybe 3 or 4 times this week just because AMC Fear Fest is going on. So it's hard not to just watch AMC all the time. And just Pumpkinhead was on before. Halloween's on right now. So, yeah, I'm pumped.
Pumpkinhead, not enough people talk about Pumpkinhead.
They need to.
They do. We need to get that started. Billy, you got to talk more about Pumpkinhead.
I got to see it first.
A beer or anything. but yes, AMC, you're right. That's such a good way to start this. We are going to be reviewing 1996 Scream. We're going to kind of give you the lay of the land of what was going on in the world at that time in a moment. We'll have these two buffoons guess some our normal movie trivia questions, and they're not about the movie. It's just what the hell was going on. But it is so funny how, like, I don't know how much cable either one of you watch. But during, like, as soon as it hits October 1st, I got, like, Freeform going. I got AMC, like, FXM usually has horror movies. And then Sci-Fi just cranking out horror movies 24/7. So, like, it's like a must, just on in the background. I never usually – I'm usually watching the YouTube, but here I'm all about cable all – or YouTube TV. All
yeah, XXN, RedTube, Homegrown, Simpson stuff, you know, all the classics.
They wear the masks, I think, I heard. They wear the masks.
A lot of good horror porno, like, ripoffs going on, like, you know, parodies.
Is there?
Yeah, there's parodies for every movie.
Guess I don't dip my toe enough, Bill. You know, I don't dip my toe enough, but this is maybe I'll see if there's a Scream one. I'm sure you're Googling as we speak. But let's break down what was going on. So 1996, it was Scream. The IMDb info of this movie says a year after the murder of her mother, a teenage girl is terrorized by a new killer. I don't know why it says that, because we don't know that for sure, who targets the girl and her friends by using horror films as part of a deadly game. This movie stars David Arquette, Nev Campbell, Courtney Cox, Matthew Lillard, Rose McGowan, Meow, Skeet Ulrich, Jamie Kennedy, Liv Schreiber, I never say his name right, Drew Barrymore, Roger L. Jackson. If you don't know who that is, that's the voice of Ghostface and the brother of Samuel L. Jackson. Henry Winkler as well. This movie was released, oddly enough, boys, on December 20th, 1996, nothing says Merry Christmas to those that don't celebrate Christmas like going to see Scream in the theater. So here's the questions for you. Ben, you're our guest. You can go first. What was the average price of gas on December 20th, 1996?
Average price of gas?
In America.
In America?
In America.
In the Ukraine.
Being from New Jersey, my gas price is so skewed because it's just the cheapest place to get gas. I'll say $2.75.
Billy, what is your more accurate guess?
I don't drive. I don't know gas price.
I'm going to go $1.07.
Billy is a little bit closer. $1.52.
All right.
I don't know if that was holiday bump up, but usually 1996, just so you know, Ben, it was like $1.50, like max. And that's average. But New Jersey, hey, listen, you guys are one of the worst.
See, that's what I always forget, average, because I'm a regular guy.
Hey, I won't take any New Jersey slander during this
podcast. Well, I am a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, so it's all good. Okay. Number one record in the United States, I will give you a hint. Female artist. Does that really help? No.
I'm going to say it's Mariah Carey.
Good guess. Then you want to take a stabbity stab.
96?
Yep. End of the year.
The solo artist?
Solo artist.
Whitney Houston?
Both good guesses, both incorrect. Toni Braxton, Unbreak My
Heart. Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, imagine that, just ringing in the new year, just heartbroken. Number one movie was released just 4 days before Scream was this movie. What movie was it?
Any genre?
This is... You can take a stab.
Well, what? It must have been a Christmas movie, right?
It's not. I'll tell you now. Not a Christmas
movie. Is it a Christmas movie?
It's a very famous movie that is in the, like, romantic sports genre.
Romantic sports genre. So what would that be in 1996?
Very famous line in this movie. I will tell you this. It is also soundtrack features said favorite artist of mine, Bruce Springsteen.
Huh. What? Wow. I mean, it's not A League of Their Own because that wasn't like romantic. That was like a girl story.
That's a comedy.
Yeah.
I don't think it was The Replacements, right? Because that was
not later. The Replacement. That came later.
Yeah.
I give up.
It has one of the most famous lines ever. It stars one of the biggest movie stars of all time.
Oh, wait. It's not. Bull Durham wasn't.
Not
Bull
Durham. Was 80s.
That was earlier.
Yeah.
What's the line?
It's too obvious if I give you the line. How about this? In features.
Oh, Major League.
No, good guess. If this won Academy
Major
Award,
League 2.
Are we not doing this?
This would be one of the most. Who do you think of like the most famous actors of the 90s?
Al Pacino, Robert De Niro.
We'll keep going. Like
Denzel Washington, Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
This guy
went from like the biggest movie star to like people thought he was the biggest weirdo and has kind of worked his way back.
Oh, Tom Cruise.
Movie?
Jerry Maguire.
Ben, circle gets the square.
That took too long, but that was a good guess.
Yeah.
I was trying to give as many guesses. I wanted you guys to get that. Now we get to the big questions of the time. Who was the WWF champion on December 20th, 1996?
I'm going to say Bret Hart.
Incorrect.
I was actually watching wrestling then, too.
Everybody was watching wrestling then. Come on, Ben.
Stone Cold?
No, pre Stone Cold. This would have been Sid Vicious, who beat Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series.
I was going to say Shawn Michaels, actually, too. It had to be one of the two.
And well, who was the WCW champion?
Ben,
Don't overthink it.
It's one of two guys, then.
It's one of one guy.
Ric Flair.
No, not Ric. Sorry, one of two guys. If it's not Ric Flair, he was a WCW champion in 1996, the biggest year of that.
Hollywood
company.
Hulk Hogan.
Bingo. There you go. If it isn't Hogan, it really, in that era, was nobody. IMDb rates this movie 7.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes. Bill, Ben, listen to this. Both 79% user and critic. I never see that on Rotten Tomato. Metacritic, 65 out of 100. Google gave it an 81%. I will just say this is something that came out of a review. It said, despite competition from other box office fare, such as Jerry Maguire, Mars Attacks, which were both released during this time.
Ooh.
What a time to be alive. Variety labeled this movie DOA before its release. Scream became the 15th highest grossing film of 1996 and was well placed among big budget blockbusters like Independence Day and Mission Impossible. It was shown in theaters for nearly 8 months after its release. Our guy Roger Ebert gave it a 3 out of 4 stars, saying the in-jokes and the self-awareness characters, he loved that part, but was confused whether the level of violence was diffused by the ironic ways the film used and comments on it. Don't overthink this. I think people are getting all smart with their words. And then the last thing we'll do before we dive in, do you want a 1-star review first, Ben, or a 10-star review on IMDb?
Give us the 1.
1-star review, March 2021, called So Cheesy is the title. It says, this movie is stupid. All horror movies are. The dialogue is so cringe, and it rips off every horror movie from the past, all in the name of quote-unquote homage.
That's the point of this movie. That's why this movie is so good.
That person doesn't understand what the movie is trying to accomplish.
Seriously.
I think they do, though, because they say what it like. That's the point of it, and they still don't like it.
It's almost like it's like the boomer thinking of it, you know? They don't like, realize that they're, like, right on target, but they're, like, you know?
And also, watching this movie and putting that review in 2021 is, like, this movie wasn't made in 2021, so, like, take a breath. The 10-star review says, the best slasher of the 90s. Scream is one of the best horror movies of all time. It is unique and clever premise when it came and remains one of the best. It is a great character. It has great characters. And the reveal of Ghostface, this movie, is a must-see. 10 stars there. That came out in 2000, the year 2000. All right, so let's get into it, Ben. I know you may have heard or seen some of the stuff here. We do things in 11, so we kind of have 11 categories. First and foremost, the curtain jerker. We'll start with you, Ben. You kind of spoiled this earlier. Did you like it?
Yes, I love it. I did like it. I honestly saw this movie at a very young age, probably 5 or 6 years old. It must have been 6, right? 96. I must have been at least 6 or 7 years old when I saw it. So very young. And it's just like always resonated with me as like that kind of like youthful like film, which is weird. Like it's not something that a kid should be watching necessarily. But like, I don't know. And yeah, it just never gets old. It's timeless. It was so ahead of its time almost, I would say. And I know we're going to get more into like the cast and all that stuff. But again, like cast was great. Directing's great. I mean, it's Wes Craven, like, right. He was the king of horror. And then he does this like really just like deconstructing horror. And it's one of the best. So yeah, I loved it.
Billy, how about you?
Yeah, for me, I loved it. You know, I would be the same here with Ben, right? It's definitely my favorite horror movie of all time because I've seen like 7. And it would be up there in like a top 25 maybe for my all-time movies because it's just so much fun. And this brings a fondness to me. Like my first time watching this was with my sister. Like you have older sisters too, Rossi. And like she loved Skeet Ulrich. I mean,
he's a hunk. Come on, he is.
Like, va-va-va-voom. He's great in this, but like, it is just such a piece. To me, it's a piece of Americana because it's just like it defines like the 90s. And I'll add a new category, side note to like what we're doing here. The wardrobing in this stuff is just beautiful for the 1996 vibe. I love every second of it.
Dude, that is so spot on. Aside from Rose McGowan, it looks like she's playing like a Fembot in Austin Powers, but no complaints about it. But yeah, for me, this is like, I joked kind of early with you, Bill, saying it's your favorite scary movie, like, which by the way is an iconic line in this film. But this movie does everything that this genre needed. As someone that, like Ben, was watching horror movies at way too young of an age and not understanding them, but like the thing I think that makes me like this movie more than most is that I knew Freddy Krueger was a fictitious character. Jason Voorhees, fictitious. Michael Myers, the first, if you watch Halloween alone, like what they did with how they revitalized it, like he's just a dude now. He scares me more again now than he did over, you know, when they made him supernatural and stuff. Like all the supernatural stuff doesn't get me this. It's scary watching, but not like, I'm like, this isn't going to happen to me. But dude, when you're I don't know, I will like even like 12, 11 years old and you're watching this movie, like, is this the type of crap that happens in high school? Dude, just start killing people. Like, this is like kind of has a realism to it. While also like you guys kind of talked about what we'll get into is like the whole meta side of it where they brought it's the first time horror movies existed inside of a horror movie, which made it even more realistic. So I absolutely love that about this movie. So I think there's no way to deny this is one of the best horror movies and revitalize the slasher genre. So let's kick into our next one in casting. Ben, what did you think of the casting of Scream?
It was fantastic. I don't think you would really replace any of the actors necessarily. At least now it's tough. It's tough looking back at a movie from 96 and a movie that's spawned three sequels, or I don't know what you would call it, right? There's
a
three
fourth
other
one coming, yeah.
There's crazy. A fourth one coming out with the three original cast members. So, like, when a movie's able to do that and like can stand the test of time with the same cast of characters, it's hard to argue against that. I will say that, like, I know we're not talking about the other films, but the first one just like nailed it, right? With everyone that's in it, like Matthew Lord is just fantastic. Skeet Ulrich, like everyone was great. I wouldn't change a thing.
Dewey, David Arquette.
Well, real quick, fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact about Matthew Lillard. He went for the role of Billy, which Skeet Ulrich was like fit right into. And the role that he ended up getting, it was created, but it wasn't hashed out. Like you hear this a lot in TV shows and movies, but I found this fascinating. Yeah. I saw Matthew Lillard in a People magazine YouTube video the other day. Like this is recent. The two of them were talking and he said like he was basically, Wes kind of told him to come back. I guess he had to like do like 20 straight minutes of dialogue and acting. And he's like, all right, I got this. Like Wes, like saw him, saw his quirkiness. He thought his body language was, I guess, a big selling point for Matthew Lillard. Yeah, like you, if you watch this movie, like
he's electric. He's electric. And you see how he moves.
So good. Yeah.
Unreal. The other thing that I love about it too is it's the classic high school casting where all of these people are like 25. But like you don't fucking care. Like no. It's just so much fun. And all of the key archetypal characters are there. Even Jamie Kennedy, I didn't realize. I know Jamie Kennedy. I know what he looks like. He just didn't look as Jamie Kennedy in this. He looked a little more geeky. I don't know how to say it. Like, he didn't look like the Jamie Kennedy experience Jamie Kennedy. And, like, at the end, I was like, that was Jamie Kennedy. That just felt weird. But everything was great.
I like how you said He didn't look like the Jamie Kennedy experience Jamie Kennedy. Like, there was this vast jump in his
it felt like size or
stuff. Well, listen, Jamie Kennedy's had a hell of a career. He's got a great YouTube video channel if you guys want to check that out. He talks about a lot of Scream stuff. Seems like the guys, maybe we'll get him on this pod. I feel like he would do it. But when it comes to casting, the one thing, obviously you guys were hitting all of them. Like, talk about hitting, or like, if you're a sports fan, like the Tampa Bay Rays. This is the Tampa Bay Rays of casting. And what do I mean by that is they took a shot on all of these people that were right about to take the bleep off. Neve Campbell in the early stages of Party of Five. He had a few seasons, but Courtney Cox wasn't quite there. David Arquette became literally a sex symbol based on this film. He was in a magazine with like all these guys are about to take off, like George Clooney and
I never noticed until this time when she says the thing about it must be your upper body that helped you get this job. Oh. I was dying.
It's like, what are we talking about? But then also like Skeet Ulrich, who's coming off of My So-Called Life. Liv Schreiber, like talk about a guy that's become like now like typecast as this like badass now. Then you also had Drew Barrymore. But as I mentioned, Neve Campbell, so well cast as like the final girl trope that like for years they were doing like everything Jamie Lee Curtis was to Halloween, that first film, like how she fit that film so well. Neve Campbell took like three notches up. I feel she was a badass. If you watch this film, like she's kicking the ass of Ghostface throughout this film. Like she avoids death several times. And it's not because some man or some hero comes in. It's really her doing a ton of the work till the end. I just think she's charismatic. She's likable. She is that every girl. She's not someone that's overly intimidating looking, like she's not super attractive, but at the same time, they almost downplay her like sex appeal in this film. I think she was like a home run hit, especially for that overly criticized final girl character for years that we've seen in all other genres.
Yeah. I mean, she was the girl next door, right? And she wasn't just kicking Ghostface's ass. She was kicking Gale Weathers' ass.
Oh, yeah, the punch.
Right? Like, they established it very early where she punches her outside the police station. And you're just like, okay, this is like a teenager that's gone through all that stuff with her mom. And then, like, that, like, to punch a public figure like that, like, it takes some balls, you know?
Bam, bitch went down. There we go. Oh, and lastly, Fonzie. Phenomenal job acting, Emerson alum, and he was awesome when he's like taking the scissors
and he's practicing.
The biggest scissors you've ever seen, too. They're like this big,
dude. The other part of that is he's super creepy in the scene when they first bring Nev in. He like grabs her chin, not a lot of principals are touching students' faces in front of police officers. By the way, it's such a crazy scene, but yeah, cool. he's gold,
and that's another reason why it's so good, right? Because they make you feel like anyone can be the killer throughout the entire movie. There are parts where Jamie Kennedy, you're like, okay, like he's a little, like when he's the scene in the video store where he's like, you're absolutely right. I'd be the prime suspect if this was a horror movie. And you're like, wait, well, is it him now? Or like what? And they're like, the whole dad thing, like you never know. The principal, and then he gets, you know, so it's just, it's so good when they set it up. Like, I watch it over and over, and I really wish I could go back and not have seen it just to see the reveal at the end. I feel like that would be one of the, like, I don't know if you guys have movies where like you wish you could go back and see it again.
Oh, yeah.
A million. Yeah. I have the whole case of those movies, because especially in Ben, this kind of segues into our next guy, but the speak and spell, the acting and writing, like that's such a good point that like this whole film, it's a whodunit. That's the whole thing with Scream. That's another thing that's different from all the slashers before. We know Jason Voorhees, Chucky, Well, that was another thing. Chucky should have been a whodunit, but it didn't. But Chucky, you have Freddy, you know, Michael Myers, and, you know, so on and so forth. Hellraiser, all the, like, you know, the killers going in. This one, you didn't. And literally, Ben, you just broke it down so well that every single character has a scene that you're like, oh, that's going to be the killer. Oh, nope. Like, that Jamie Kennedy scene is a dead, like, oh, well, he's saying he could be the killer if this was a movie. We are all sitting in a theater or at home watching a movie. We know it's a movie, so he's going to be the killer. And even like, you know, Henry Winkler, the principal, he's has the mask on. He's practicing stabbing. Oh, he's going to be the killer.
Yeah.
The dad going away for a week after his daughter lost the mother on a year anniversary, that he's just like, yeah, I got a trip. I got business. Like, no, he's the killer. And it just keeps going that way throughout the movie.
They give everybody kind of a motive, right? For to be the killer or whatnot. And then the ending, it's just such good, like, meta writing, I guess, where they're like, you know, that's the best part about horror movies is they don't have a motive. And then you find out Billy has a huge motive, and he's you know, obviously he's been the killer the whole time. But, like, that's a nice way of, like, backdooring it in there that, like, even, like, what's his name, looked a little bit shocked when he revealed that.
Yeah, yeah. Stu was like, what?
What? He was like, so that was a nice little reveal on the reveal. And I will say one other thing about the writing. Two words. Liver alone. Every time.
Liver alone. Yeah, that's great. Like, the ending, like, just as segueing into that as well, like, the ending really is so well done. And it, I can't think the last time we had, like, a dual killer reveal. Like, it's one of those, like, again, as a wrestling fan, like, when you get one surprise and another surprise right after, like, recently as an AEW fan, you got Adam Cole's there, then, oh crap, Bryan Danielson's there, like, whoa, my head's exploding. Like, you got that in Scream, and the way they did it and the way they told the story, and then watching it back, and I'm gonna pick on two scenes in this movie, and that's really the only real issues I have, but watching it back, like, you're like, oh, maybe that had to be, oh, that's Stu, oh wait, that one's Billy, okay, like, you start to, like, piece together who did what or how, especially that first scene, it's almost like, how is there one, like, the boyfriend wasn't there. And then next thing you know, the boyfriend is there. Then the boyfriend's intact and his guts are on the floor. You're like, how is this happening? And then somebody's in with Nev in the scene with Sydney, like, somebody's in the house, but somebody's calling. It makes sense when you watch it. But the only two scenes, I don't know if you guys picked up on this, still make no sense. And when I rewatched it, there's the part where Ghostface is in the supermarket.
I just didn't like that. That was weird.
That was just that's just like Kevin Williamson and Wes Craven. Hats off, amazing job. You know, but they should have, whoever edited that should have cut that scene because it was so unnecessary.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, just dude, just like, hey, what's going on? Like, I'm a killer in here. Like, everybody in the city is looking for this thing, and he's just like getting a Monster Energy drink. It's like, okay, and then the scene when he's in the woods. Even though that one I can kind of understand because probably, like, he was potentially going to be
going for murder. But it's just in the afternoon after they have the talk on the porch.
They're on the porch and then, like, the camera goes. But it's just so, like, that's for the movie. And that's where there's just – those are just little nitpicks. But, like, it gets me when I watch. I'm like, no, that the one in the supermarket makes no sense.
It's just campy, right?
Yeah.
It's super campy.
And then in the other one, real quick, the bathroom scene, which – I want to just call it that. I don't know who that cheerleader was. It's probably one of the most underrated scenes and lines in the entire movie. When she's in the stall hiding and the cheerleader's just, like, ripping her apart, and her mom and the Ricky Lake stuff. I thought that was, like, fantastic.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And then
and like the guy coming down in there.
And then they leave and the scene is there. He's been in the bathroom this entire time, and for some reason she runs out and doesn't just, like, close the door and, like, go run and get someone and be like, hey, like, there's the killer's in there. And then there's cops and everyone outside the school. Like, I don't know. That scene was a little like, okay, like, in real life, he's probably getting caught.
Oh, yeah.
They lock the school down or something and he can't get out. I don't know.
What is he just squatting on that toilet, just waiting? Like, maybe Sydney will come in here. Yeah. Maybe she'll be alone. How would you ever know who's in a bathroom when you're squatting on a toilet waiting? Like, how would you know who it is without hearing their voice? Like, most people don't walk in a bathroom. I don't know about you, Ben, with your thong on your head. Like, if you just walk in a bathroom, like, woohoo, hey, it's me, Ben. I'm going to take a pee. Like, it's like, that was so ridiculous. And another scene that I've always laughed at, always angered me because she should have got away, was when Tatum's death makes no sense. I'm sorry. Like, you're not getting your body, like, as lean and as thin as she is, your body's not getting lifted in a garage door, in a dog door, and then smushed, which, by the way, great plastic crap there.
Yeah.
But, like, her head gets smushed. And again, Nobody in that party. That's the worst part.
Oh, the music was loud. The music was loud.
Yeah, bull crap. There's electrical shocks going on. Like something would blink.
No, I agree. But you
and the dude just opens a door. By the way, in full garb, opens a door, walks into the party.
Yeah, but you know, somebody could have brought it to the party that night. Like they kind of set that up too with the people running down the hallway. My thing, yeah. My last thing here on the writing, and like it's not even so much writing, but it's like set design. When they like go to the parents' room to have a talk on the bed, that's a twin fucking bed, by the way. Like I've always noticed that. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, it's a twin bed. At least in the initial shot, it's a twin bed.
Jeez. A little advice, Bill, for you. Next rendezvous, we'll just say on the late night with a 2 a.m. lady, twin bed.
No
room for mistakes. No room for mistakes.
You know what the key thing is? If you have more than one pillow, hide it.
What?
What?
Like, you can't say over. I only have one pillow.
Oh well, you're talking about booting them out. I'm talking about getting the action done.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about where there's too much room on the bed. Bill, there's too much movement. Too much. You get twin bed, no room for it. Then you
get. Oh, then there's definitely no room.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I can't. Sorry, this is my only bed, and my mom's coming home. All right, up now. Well, hit my music in Scream. Another interesting time here in the '90s. The music in this film. Anything stand out to you? Anything about the music in Scream?
You want to go, Billy, or?
Yeah, for the horror actual soundtrack, usually that's a selling point of a lot of horror movies. It's fine. And like the real music they use, like the Red Right Hand, that's obviously really good. And then they use that a couple times. And then I love, it's to me, it's iconic, is the school's out for summer. And then other than that, it wasn't amazingly used.
No. See, I agree. I think it didn't hit that next level stride where we got with like I Know What You Did Last Summer, Urban Legend, where like movies that took Scream and like, oh, this is what's hot now. We're gonna make a bunch of those. Even The Faculty, like looking at those soundtracks and the way music is used, this was like hit right before music, and especially like you had Romeo and Juliet earlier this year that had great soundtracks. Like they didn't think this was that movie. They weren't catering this necessarily to the younger audience that you saw it come over the next 6, 7 to 12 months. So, you nailed all the ones that I kind of had marked. The School's Out for Summer is such a great, like, kick-ass tune, especially in that scene.
Yeah, I like that they didn't really go too overboard with popular songs in the movie.
You didn't need to.
Like, because really, though, like the two ones that resonate with me are the two at the party, right? The one, Youth of America. I don't know who does that song, but... Again, that's why. Like, I still don't know who wrote that song or what band it was. I just know that it's sort of this song that's in Scream, I guess. And
that would be by Bird Brain, by the way.
Exactly, it's like a no-name like '90s band that like everyone's probably like, oh, that's the song in the party scene in Scream for the most part. Like that's its like claim to fame. But back then, I bet no one really knew what the hell that was either. And then there's The other song is that '90s "Ready to Go." You know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah,
on the rooftop, get it out, baby, I'm ready to go.
But it's another song that's playing at the party. Yep. So again, it's like you're kind of thinking that it's that song, but it's not at all. And you're like, wait, I know who this is, but it's another one of their songs that like no one knows. So I think that helps a movie like that. They don't want one song to really be like to resonate too much with the audience, right? It's not about the music.
Yeah, it didn't need to do anything. It was a great movie.
Yeah, exactly. So I like the music choice. And like as far as just the horror, like I think it suits it. It suits the movie pretty well. All the like what I don't know what you would call it, Billy. Billy, you know what it would be called. Like the music in the movie.
Like the score?
The score. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, the big score in this one that if you listen to any like Halloween radio right now, they usually play is called Trouble in Woodsboro, aka Sydney's Lament. That's kind of like the theme you're talking about, the score to the film. Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, I agree with most of the points you've just said, Ben. That like, yeah, the fact this movie didn't stand out for its music kind of helps it in a way, because I think you're right. If there was more like bangers at this point with this film, maybe it would overtake it. Like I Know What You Did Last Summer, but literally I think about that soundtrack sometimes more than I think about what the actual plot of that movie is. Right. And obviously I just like staring at all the people, including Ryan Phillippe and Prime,
Freddie Prinze.
Freddie Prinze. My God. Ooh. I've never seen his dad. Is his dad as gorgeous as he is? We'll find out.
Had to be.
Yeah, right? Just had to be. Could you imagine those parents? Oh, my God. Those parents must be gorgeous. Anyways, in this next part, we usually try to act out a scene. I don't know if anybody prepared anything. No. We can pass by it, but you can always just go with,
what's your favorite scary movie?
I mean, for me, and this is why this movie is so unbelievably epic, and this is something somebody taught me a long time ago, like with, like what I do, like if you're going to make a piece of content, make the first thing in it amazing, make the last thing in it amazing, and that's all people are going to remember. And the two standout scenes are the top and bottom of this movie, and like the ending scene with the "I'm feeling woozy," man, it's like his everything he does after he gets stabbed is unbelievable.
Your parents are gonna kill me.
My mom gets so mad.
You're so mad at me.
It's all so good.
It is. That's such a good point that like all those lines, like Matthew Lillard really is so damn good in the last like 13 minutes of this film, including his, well, as people will call it, quote unquote, death scene. We'll see if it remains that. He still claims he didn't die from that TV. I'm like, bro, it's 1996. Those TVs were like 150 pounds.
Yeah.
You dead.
I was at a thing for you, Sid.
So not before I ask something out, I will say I read that Matthew Lillard was supposed to be the killer in Scream 3. And I guess something happened and they were, because they were just going to be like, oh yeah, he didn't die. Now he's the killer in Scream 3, which I thought would have been, that would have blown out of the water, man. That would have been awesome.
Absolutely agree. I've read that too. And two things that I read. One, he's in Scream 2. I guess it's like an extra. There's like a weird thing scene that he plays. Yeah, at a party because he was dating Neve Campbell at the time. They wrote him to be a part of Scream 3. So I think that's where this like legend of like he didn't really die really came from. Because if you know, we're going to go through all the Screams throughout this month up until Halloween, but Scream 3 is literally useless to the franchise. And if they did that, I think it could have tied like literally nothing that happens in Scream 3. If you go 1, 2, 4, like, Billy, I almost want you to go 1, 2, 4 and tell me if you're missing any dots. Because I've played this out many a times with people that if you just take 3 right out of the whole lineage of it, you don't miss a beat.
No.
Nothing in there takes things to the next level. Or, like, you're like, oh, remember when that happened? Like, everything they really talk about was from 2 on. It's weird.
Yeah, it was all this bullshit. Like, oh, it was actually Sid's long-lost brother that ended up helping like Billy and Stu didn't do it. Like, oh, get out of here.
And then they just like, yeah, that was trash. Why did we do this? Poor Wes Craven.
But yeah.
Anyways, that's your act it out.
So I think Ben's got left.
My favorite line in the entire movie, it's so tough to pick a favorite line. I would probably go with, you're not a virgin anymore. Now you got to die. Those are the rules. Oh, and so in talking about the rules, when Randy reads the rules off and then Matthew Lillard, everything Matthew Lillard does in the movie is just like fantastic. After he reads the rules off and he's like, I'm going to grab a beer. Do you need anything? I'll be right back.
Everyone
goes nuts. That part's.
It's also that whole scene's great too, because also where Jamie Kennedy is talking to Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, and they're watching from the news camera, which is like Paranormal Activity before Paranormal Activity, and he's telling Jamie, "Get out of there, Jamie! Get out of the room, Jamie!" And he's behind you, Jamie. Get out of the room. And with Ghostface behind him, that is like some awesome like writing. That goes back to writing, but that scene is just like. The inception of meta that's going on in that scene is just it's incredible. And I love Jamie Kennedy. We've actually seen him many times doing stand-up because when he was dating Jennifer Love Hewitt, there was allegedly rumors that she was going on tour with him. That did not happen. I did not meet her. And I met him after and paid money. And I don't know why. Anyways, all right. So then the legacy of this film. What is the legacy of Scream? Bill, we can start with you.
For me, outside of the two top and bottom scenes, it's got to be the mask, right? I mean, that's like, you think of Scream, you think of the Ghostface mask, and that's it.
Yes, you know, there's a one of the like, tropes of this movie that originally the, not set director, the costume designer, it was all white. I don't know if you guys have heard this. So originally it was going to be all white. But there's been images out there, like people photoshopping. But like, if you took that mask with all white around it, all that stands out are the eyes. So it almost looks like an old school ghost, like in like Halloween when he's like coming around and just like that. Like that's what they were going for. Then somebody stepped in, some, I forget the name, I'm not giving any credit properly. You can Google it. Some female set designer that was like watching it kind of be made. She's like, let's put this against this dark like setting. And it's like the white almost pops too much. And then she said, what if we went dark with it? And then once they put the black like cape over it, they're like, wow. And like the mask like almost 3D like comes at you.
Yeah,
and it's like more terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's way better.
Yeah, and the other thing about the mask, Bill, that like we've talked about this on this pod, like I once dressed up as that mask in 1993. Like that mask had been around. It just didn't have like, it was just generic ghost. And it was like silly. I think it was called like silly ghost or something. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny how like now, because that was the whole theory, if Wes Craven's talked about this in interviews, that he wanted like a nonchalant, like something you could go to any, you know, Halloween store USA and get, because that's what a teenage kid would do. So I think that you're right. That mask is super iconic. And now that's all you think about when you see that face.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with Bill on the legacy. I don't know. I still think it's one of the most unique horror movies ever. Right. It's timeless. It's so unique. The writing is just so good. Like Sidney Prescott, I don't know, like that.
I mean, that's another thing too. Like her character has carried on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said before, the legacy is that they're making a fifth movie. Then that all, what, how many years later?
It'll be 20, almost over 25 years.
Yeah.
It'll be over 25 years.
Later, they're making a new movie and I doubt it'll be the last time we see them do this. So.
And I doubt it'll be bad.
That's kind of the legacy, right? Wait, what?
I doubt it'll be bad. I think it'll be good.
I think it's going to be fantastic after watching the trailer.
I don't know
if you guys have seen Ready or Not. Like that movie was great. And
that movie's awesome, dude.
Well, that's who's doing this. So
I know, but Blumhouse and all these people do all the movies now. But I for me, the legacy to this day will always be everything you guys said. Obviously, there's so much to it. Is what's your favorite scary movie? That's it. Yeah. That's the film to me, because that. It's just, there's so much impact with just one line. And the other fact that like Drew Barrymore, again, the only person with real name value, you thought she's the star of the film. She's clearly going to be the final girl. Dead.
You get it wrong. You die. Yeah.
I'm going to gut you like a fish.
Part, I think that.
Yeah. And I think that's what sets that tone.
The most recognizable actor in entire film. And probably, how much do you think she got paid more than most of them to just do that?
Yeah, 100%. She got top billing, I believe.
Yeah.
She did. So because, also, that was what the film set you up to believe. They wanted you to come and be like,
she was the original like poster, right? It's her
she's on the shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's her. It's her, Ski. Yeah, there it is. Her, Ski, Nev. Courtney Cox and David Arquette. And it's just funny because, again, her name in some of the posters, like then they put Neve Campbell, like her face came like later posters. But, like there was ones with her face on it, Bill. You're talking about like the white overtone.
Yeah, just her. I think that was the original.
Yeah. And just incredible. But like the what's your favorite scary movie, the way that just kicks off everything. Mm-hmm. And the whole phone call idea that became – now there has been like – Black Christmas was kind of in the same theory with like a phone call from the house kind of stuff, but this took that and like talked about it and like talked about harm. There's so many things, but to me, what's your favorite scary movie? Because I don't think I made it through, I don't know what grade I was in, like sixth or seventh grade, without saying that like 9,000 times.
I think you nailed it with the line.
And I guess our last category before we throw anything else out there is the then, now, forever. Ben, does this movie stand the test of time?
Yeah. I feel like I've said it a lot throughout the pod so far. But yeah, it 100% stands the test of time. I think 20 years from now, when all three of us get on for the 45th anniversary of Scream, when they're making Scream 15 or whatever, we're going to get on here and say, movie's still timeless. So yeah, I think it 100% stands the test of time.
Yeah.
Bill? Like to me, this is like the horror movie that I'll show like my niece, you know what I mean? Like, all right, sit down. We'll watch this one. It's a classic. Like, and there's no way you show this to someone even of the, what's the younger than millennial group now?
Gen Z.
Gen Zers, like they'll even appreciate this because it's a little smart ass. It's just, there wasn't a boring moment in the whole thing. Like it is from start to finish, entertaining.
It's a 2-hour movie that feels like an hour and a half. Oh, and that's rare. This movie boots. It has great pacing. I think that's another reason that I think we all like this. Like, there's not that like, oh, here comes that part. Like if you're watching it on DVD years ago, fast forward. If you're watching it now on Netflix or whatever, like, I'll just move forward this 10 minutes. Like, you don't have that in this movie. It just keeps kicking ass throughout. And I think that's so important. And again, that's a credit to the actors, the writers, like everything about it. Like, you liked every character. You want to see every scene with them. So there really was like, there was not a missable scene in the whole film or like that, like, oh, I hate this part. No, it's like all of it ties in really well and makes sense. And again, the only thing I would say for your Gen Zers out there, it's just really fun, even millennials, it's really funny to hear the police say cellular phones throughout this movie.
That
and the fact that when she can't call the police, she goes to her internet dial-up service to get the cops, and that gets them there quicker than any phone call in the entire film. Watch that scene again. She types in help 911. Dewey's there within 4 minutes. Every other time, she's like paging the police at the last scene. They don't show up till dawn the next morning. Take that.
We live in the middle of nowhere. Like, oh yeah.
Another quick underrated thing before we get to the pull apart, just an extra one here.
It's part of
when
it.
They're doing the back and forth with the smoking and then Dewey eating the ice cream. That was fucking great. That killed me.
It's great. The movie is great. Oh. Yeah, pull apart. Anything else we missed here, Ben, or any other things you want said?
Not really. I think we nailed everything. I don't think we've talked enough about the opening scene, but I mean, like, do you really need to talk about one of the greatest opening scenes to a movie ever? I don't think so. That's really all that needs to be said, I feel like.
Seen it so much. It's so impactful, right? And the only thing I wanted to mention is just that, like, this movie originally, and like till the point of like, I think it was like right before they went to post-production, was called Scary Movie. And they didn't call it Scream until the scene we've been talking about the whole time, the end and the beginning.
Yeah.
Matthew literally says, "It's a scream." Yeah. That literally changed the title of the film.
That's good.
One of the editors saw it and said, "What if we go this way?" And I guess the last three titles of the film was Scream, Stabbed, and Scary Movie. And
well, is it Stabbed? I don't know much, but is it Stabbed the movie that they make in Scream 2?
Is the movie about Scream within the film, and Scary Movie then became obviously the parody movies that made more money than all the Screams combined, because those things were just printing freaking money. Those first two are amazing. But
And the last thing for me in the pull apart here, the relationship between the camera woman and the camera guy, that's not like they all love their camera guys. Like, no one treats them like that. Also, he must have had the biggest head in the world, because when I wear a backwards hat, I usually wear it on like the last two notches. He was literally wearing it on the last single one. So he must have the biggest dome ever.
That dude, also, like, another thing about that's worthy of mentioning, how Ghostface did the most unrealistic, dumb things with bodies. Like, even Drew Barrymore in the beginning, like, hangs her somehow in, like, 13 seconds. Why? Yeah. I don't know. And the cameraman you're talking about kills him as he opens the door.
And then gets him on top.
Throws him on top of the thing. Nah, just cuz. Like, just cuz. Sure. It's like, oh, I can lift. That guy had to probably be 290 pounds. I'm just going to. Yeah. Show I can throw this up on top of it. Like, just stupid things they did with bodies just to do. And even they said, like, the principal, they hang them from goalposts.
Yeah.
What? And then all the best goalposts.
That would have created another dynamic in the movie if they had done like a very, very short scene where that, like,
string them up.
Get them up there. Get up. Like, I just, that's incredible. And also, just one last thing I wanted to mention is that. When Billy comes into the room with Sydney and she's like kind of questioning him, then the cell phone comes out of his actual like pants. Like, that's real. Like, that he made a mistake. Like, he should have been caught, but got the alibi out of there. Like, that's such an interesting scene for when you realize the ending, that like that was a scene where they actually gave it away. Like, there's your killer, by the way.
The two of them, they gave it away, right? Because she's typing to the police or whatever, and then the killer runs away really quick, and then Billy pops in the window like almost immediately, right? Yeah. So there's like, in her head, there's no way that the killer's Billy, right? So it has to be someone else, but that's when you're like, okay, maybe it's two people.
In the before we give our rating, I want to ask you guys, when you first watched it, and if you could go back, who would be your killer? Who did you think it was when you first watched, if you remember? Or early watches.
I probably would have said the dad. Like if I was to watch this with an earnest eye back then, I would have been like, yeah, it's probably the dad.
I always thought it was Dewey for some reason. I'm like, ah, innocent guy, likable. You know, he's going to be the killer. Like, that's what you saw a lot in those weird 90s films before this.
I couldn't tell you. I was so young.
Yeah, you were six.
When I watched it, like, I was like six or seven when I first watched it, so it's hard to remember.
It's in between
that.
Barney and Sesame Street. He's like, yeah, I watch Scream.
Exactly. It's very difficult to recall, but.
If you were to go back, though, and, you know, I know, Ben, you said, like, you wish you could see this for the first time. If you had to redo the killer, and you couldn't use Billy and Stu, just for argument's sake, who would your twist killer be?
Tatum, I think, would have been a good one. Best friend.
She's kind of a bitch.
That's kind of what they did in Urban Legend, yeah, too. And Tatum, throughout the movie, is always, like, sucking up to Sydney, like, the entire time. Like, oh, you're so cool. Oh, you're awesome. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I could have saw some sort of angle they could have taken where it ended up being her.
She also does kind of go, your mom was just like banging a bunch of dudes.
She's like, your mom was a slut, basically. Yeah. That's what she said. She basically said it.
She was no Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
Such a good line.
For me, I always went if I could redo it, I would have still made Cotton Wary guilty. Because I just think there's something in this movie, he's not a big enough role. But like, if you like tag teamed him with Tatum, like something like that, and they were like doing the nasty on the side, even though it's super inappropriate. But
the lead singer of Bush. Gavin.
Oh my God.
Gavin Rosdale. That's
throw him in there too. But yeah, literally, like, I think that would have been. I've always thought the Cotton, like, for some reason, I always remember Cotton Wary's character throughout, like, these films. And like, he plays such, like, a, I don't know, maybe a 15% role in the movies he's in. I guess that's the one reason for Scream 3. I contradicted myself. I contradicted myself. I throw him in 4. But I just think they could have done something there because it was like the guilty party actually being guilty could have been an interesting tie back. But all right, now it's time for us to do it. Ben, here at the Pop Culture Pile Drive, where we rate things on the scale of 1 to 11. What would you give Scream from 1996?
Am I biased if I say 11? Can I
go 11? You be wherever you want.
For me, it's 11. Honestly, it's in the top five. It's in my top five favorite movies of all time. It's probably my favorite horror movie. I'd give it a.
Ben, if we did a podcast together, let's say, I don't know, for like 3 years going, how many times would you have said it's in my top five for different films?
100 times.
Okay, like, so you're just like Billy. Okay,
I am I'm very much like Billy. I have a top five constantly. Yeah.
Okay, at least you're honest about it. Bill, what would you say, what would you give this 1 out of 11?
I mean, I'm going to give it an 11, especially for what it, like, usually, like, you know me with, like, when I do wrestling matches. Like, if it was a 5-minute wrestling match, could it be an 11? Yeah, if it was the best 5-minute wrestling match ever, that's what I'm going to, this is the best horror movie for me. And it's to me, there's not much I would change besides those few hokey things with the killer. But otherwise, there's not much I would, you know, cut out of this thing. It's awesome.
Stab out of it. Yeah, I'm gonna, just because I'm still regretful, I don't like giving perfect scores. He gave
Tommy Boy an 11. And
Tommy Boy will still be. That's an all time. It's one of the greatest movies ever.
I'd do that.
I'm not giving it the full boat from some of the reasons I said earlier. So I will give it a 10.5. But I think when it comes to, if you are between the ages of 25 and 45, this hat, unless you just have some sort of like, you don't like it because it's not supernatural or it's too like, oh, it's a real person that kind of dweebs and that sucks. Like, this is like maybe one of the most perfect movies of horror that combines everything you like about it. Attractive women, storylines that make somewhat sense. Very good looking men. Skeet Ulrich can get it any day of the week and two times on Sunday, even though it's the Lord's Day and Chick-fil-A ain't open. But you got also, you also have just really well-timed things throughout this film. Everything about, I think it really does have every element of what can be a perfect movie. And the reason I think it also is that is because they didn't try to make it a perfect movie. They just made a movie that they wanted to make. And I think what you saw for the next 4 films like this, so we talked about the Urban Legends, I Know What You Did Last Summer, is they tried to do something and I don't think they hit it, where this one didn't do that. And I think this and Scream 2, which Bill will be getting to, are like really well done. Then we get a little off the rails. And that's why I don't have as much faith jumping into 5 as you both do, but I'm also open-minded to see what we'll get. So yeah. Technically this would be like a 10.8 out of 11 combined from all of us. And I think we did a hell of a job here. Make sure, if you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast wherever you find your podcast. You can tell Alexa to listen to it. I didn't even give the plug earlier. You can listen to this wherever, literally all sorts of podcasts. We're huge in India right now, Bill. I've been seeing the listens in that Indian podcast outlet, which I should probably see. It is called Ghana Gaana is a podcast app in India. We are on Boom Play, which is another different country. Deezer, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Apple Podcasts, which you can leave a 5-star review, which would do us wonders. Amazon Music and Audible, you can listen to us. Spotify and the YouTube. And again, you could tell Alexa to listen to it as well. Ben, I think you did a hell of a job. Billy texted me the other day. I questioned your existence on this planet. Now I'm questioning my judgment. You can be found at Ben's Weidman, DKN. Before we get out of here, let's talk about some of the other things that are going on in the DSG. This week in
the Shared Gooniverse.
All right. So I think everybody did What If. We talked about What If, a Marvel What If podcast, basically, right? Was that everybody?
I know Dork did. I think they did an exit survey and changed my mind. And yep. I think McAgoo did a movie from the 80s. Which one was it, Bill? I forget.
No, I think they re-released something. I'm pretty sure because I just listened to them.
Bill, we got a running joke here. You just
fuck. They did Aliens, the 1989 classic Aliens. Okay.
Yeah, you got to check that one out, Ben. McAgoo. It's podcast.
I thought you meant you need to check out Aliens. Like, I hadn't seen Aliens.
Dude, but you should check out Aliens. Did you not hear what
Sigourney Weaver did in that movie?
No. Well, that too. But Demi Lovato, have you heard what she said recently?
Oh, yeah. That's ridiculous. Don't call them. What is it?
Don't call aliens because it's disrespectful to extraterrestrials. Ooh,
she's also the same person who they said, "What's your favorite dish?" And she said, "I prefer a mug." Like,
but if you do have time, just listen to what is it? Cool for the Summer. That's a jam. Demi Lovato. That song kicks ass. And if you are the few people that listen to this podcast or have anything to do with radio and you have a 45-second audio clip coming out of a bumper, that's the number one recommended comeback from a clip, from a commercial song, because it's 45 seconds, then it kicks in. It's amazing. But she's bat poop cuckoo. But glad she's alive and kicked all the other habits.
Oh, and TLDR had Scott Snyder on. So go listen to that. That's probably a great interview, which I will be listening to tomorrow on my ride into work. So check them out. Check out Pineapple Boys. We go tomorrow. And I think that's it.
All right. He can be found at BillyYee2411 on Twitter. All other social media platforms, including that OnlyFans, is at BillyD2411. We also found out that Ben, at Ben Zweiman, I think he doesn't use the last few letters, is also on OnlyFans with Mayonnaise Toes. So if you're into the toe genre.
Other condiments, not just mayo.
How much is your subscription per month?
What's the rate?
I think you should go like $6 because you can make it. You could probably get a couple sickos to get in there.
$6.96, $6.69.
They usually do like a $6.99.
This is a joke, but
listen, you know what? Let's be honest. $6.99, not a joke, and also messy. I am at Jason D. Rossi at all social media platforms. Please subscribe to the pod. We appreciate it. But do give Ben a follow at Ben Zweiman, DKN, over on the Twitter.
He's got that blue check mark.
Oh, he's checked. He's got He's got that DK bucks behind him saying, Ben, you want to be verified? Hold on, let me get your socials in here and send it. That's what happens. There's some social media nerd out there that like basically checks everybody, and companies I worked for in the past told me no. Just angry. Even though, what does it mean? Ben, what does it mean to be checked? Did you wake up the next
absolutely
day?
Absolutely like nothing.
It's like a little avatar above his head now. You can't see it.
He's like a sim. Like, he has something that none of us have. He's a crown.
Yeah, a little blue bird like follows me around above my head, like everywhere. And it's just like, oh, that guy, he must be important.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, not really.
I'm going to make a fake version of you so that you can kick it off of Twitter. God. No, because then you can boot it.
That's when I know I've made it, when people are making burner or fake accounts of me. So please, I invite all of that.
Please, everybody, for the few people that are still from the DK Sim fam that were making parodies of me, please make some of Ben, because he needs it.
I was surprised that they didn't do like a Bandana Ben.
There was a Bandana Ben one.
Was there? I didn't know. Yeah. I figured maybe there would have been, but then I bailed on the streams. And,
Well, thank you for that, for the time that
it opened it up for us.
My rent really, my mortgage helped. But one thing about that, you know what's funny? And you guys probably have like media contacts throughout your phones and whatnot. Do you ever get notified basically when there's a burner that's added to Twitter? Because you get like contact you may know is like on Twitter, and it's like it would just be something like generic, like Steve W. Fortix, like, and then like 9,000 numbers. You ever get those on your Twitter?
Oh, no, that's probably me.
No, well, maybe it is Bill, but I'm telling you, as Billy. Someone.
Billy's the one doing it.
Well, because I do it to vote on polls.
He should be doing it. But it basically, I get like probably once a week, I get like a notification on Twitter that it's like some one of your contacts from my cell phone is like created a Twitter account, but it's just a dummy account. So I'm like, oh, dude, it's a burner. Like, and I'm not saying I have huge names on my phone, but I have people that like in the industry or sports players or musicians. I'm like, I bet you some of these are just them having dummy accounts. Like we saw what Kevin Durant did. He got exposed. I'm sure many people are doing it.
It's true.
Bill, it's totally Bill. He's been super quiet since it's happened.
That's true. Like for me, like when we have a poll that I'm losing, I 100% go do it.
I knew you were that guy. He is again. Check out the pod. We're going to be doing this all month long. Again, we will be back with Scream 2. We'll have a Scream 3. We'll have a Scream 4. And then we will have what we want from Scream 5. And Ben, you passed the very, very accomplished and difficult task of me not being like, this was dumb. So I think we should have you back for that, what we expect in Scream 5 pod, because I think that we're just going to do like a big round table of dudes.
I have so many thoughts just based off the trailer.
Yep.
And I've watched it a bunch of times and I'm just like trying to pick it apart still. So yeah, I'm 100% down for something like that.
All right. We'll get you in for that one. Billy, any fine words for the fine folks before we get out of here?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.